Broadcasting from the Washington, D.C. studios of the National Right to Life Committee, this is Pro-Life Perspective, America's pro-life voice. And now, here's National Right to Life President and Pro-Life Perspective host, Carol Tobias.
Yesterday, we started talking about a groundbreaking new study published last month in the British medical journal, The Lancet. The study specifically addresses the dehumanizing diagnosis of patients in a so-called persistent vegetative state and found some rather remarkable results. You may remember persistent vegetative state as the diagnosis applied to Terry Schindler Scheivel, the Florida woman who, in March of 2005, was, according to a court order, starved and dehydrated until she died. Then, as now, we sought to strike the phrase from our society's vocabulary. Just as blob of tissue is no longer used by anyone of credibility on either side of the abortion debate, the day may be coming closer that is no longer acceptable to call another human being a vegetable. And certainly we pray the day is closer that such a diagnosis doesn't grant courts or doctors the right to choose death for a brain-injured patient. The study makes clear that our previous means of diagnosing have been flawed. As the 8 authors explain, this finding comes on top of previously published studies using more complex and less readily available functional magnetic resonance imaging technology that demonstrated some patients in a vegetative state, when instructed to imagine they were playing tennis, generated brain waves comparable to those of healthy controls. As helpful as the study is, there is an important caveat. While the Lancet study shows that EEGs could detect signs of consciousness in patients who had been diagnosed as vegetative, it does not follow that such patients are definitely unconscious if EEGs do not detect these signs. As the study itself notes, the fact that the EEG did not pick up these signs of consciousness in 25% of the healthy and aware patients, the controls, shows unequivocally that a null EEG outcome does not necessarily indicate an absence of awareness. Burke Balch, who serves as director of National Right to Life's Robert Powell Center for Medical Ethics, reviewed the study and concluded that, quote, many patients, probably thousands, have had their food and fluids cut off and died based on what we now know may well have been mistaken assumptions that they had lost all capacity for consciousness. The Lancet EEG study, together with earlier functional MRI studies, holds out the hope that we may develop ways to communicate with aware patients who have routinely been diagnosed as vegetative, much as today, eye movements and blinks are used to communicate with some patients with paraplegia, end quote. The results of the study, that many patients are misdiagnosed, is thrilling news for those of us who seek to protect the lives of innocent patients from death. But it's bittersweet, because this study is too late to save lives like Terry. We can't go back and reverse decisions that came out of ignorance. Her painful death from lack of food or water or fluids of any kind represents the same death that others have experienced, and it was deemed acceptable to do that to her and to all of them because they were vegetables. Just as what were once generally accepted mental health diagnoses of idiot and moron have long been dropped from standard medical vocabulary, it is to be hoped that these studies will help lead to abandonment of the dehumanizing and inaccurate term vegetative as an acceptable medical diagnostic term. There is much to do. The first step comes with education. Knowing what your rights are as a patient and filling out a will to live are basic things that we should all do and encourage our families to do as well. You can find a will to live for your state, as well as more information on the Lancet study and more information about end-of-life options at prolifeperspective.com. As always, if you have any questions or comments or stories that you'd like to share with me, I'd love to hear them. Please email me at carol@prolifeperspective.com.
You've been listening to Pro-Life Perspective from National Right to Life, the nation's largest grassroots pro-life organization. For more information on today's episode and to get involved, visit our website at www.nrlc.org.